and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Some teaching tonight on things that we know and we've been discussing and teaching for many years, but you know, God has a way of bringing these things to our remembrance, reminding us what the deeper life is about, what God is about to do in this last dispensation, that he's now calling a remnant to himself who are going to walk by faith and who are consecrated and set apart to him, who are being worked upon by the Holy Spirit and being perfected. Because that is the work that he's doing, because we're told that without perfection, we will not see God. And when we say perfection, we're not talking about a sinless perfection, but we're talking about a perfection that is acceptable and pleasing to God. In other words, we have come to maturity in our walk, in our faith, our consecration, and above all, our commitment and relationship with him. And I'm calling this teaching today, which kingdom do you wish to follow? Which kingdom do you wish to follow? And I'm opening up with this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. And here we see where Jesus is led into the wilderness, and there he is tempted and is fasting for 40 days. And being tried before he goes forth for his ministry. He has to overcome these trials, these temptations, in his flesh, that is. In other words, this is an anchoring. This is to build him up in his faith as he goes forth to minister. Because he's going to be tried, he's going to be tempted in his ministry, and he needs to overcome. It needs to be revealed to him that his heavenly Father is preserving and keeping him in the faith. And God works similar with us. Our trials and our tests that we go through are to build a spiritual confidence and faith in the Lord. In other words, you remember how God preserved and kept you through your last trial, how he delivered you, how you were able to overcome the powers of darkness. All of this is to encourage us and build us up for our ministry, because we know that the enemy can come, even like an angel of light, We're told that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. So we take none of this for granted. But the trials and the tests that we go through, and they're all varied, are preparatory in nature. They lead towards something while we're still walking in this life. They are, if you like, stepping stones in our development, our maturity, all of which is absolutely vital for what we face in our ministries and the general walk itself. And this is why, sadly, so many are going back or compromising. And therefore, they never develop, they never mature, they don't come into sonship. And therefore, they can't be part of the bride who's making herself ready in these last days. As we say to you so often, our trials are tailor-made. And indeed they are. So, which kingdom do you wish to follow? That is what we're going to talk about this evening. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And we're just going to read of Jesus being led into the wilderness and the trials, the testings that he meets. I know we've read this many times, but we need to look at this with regard to which kingdom do we wish to follow. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in his hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." I just want to say at that point that the enemy can quote the word of God. He can remind you about the word of God, but he wants to challenge that which you confess and you believe. And it goes on, "And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" So Jesus replied with the word of God, which Satan was using to tempt him. "And again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered to him." Jesus revealed that he was of another kingdom. He revealed that he was only on the earth temporary to do the Father's will. And he wasn't taken in by these temptations. They were very real to him in his flesh, but he never fell. He never fell when he took him to a pinnacle and said, "All this I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me." Well, of course, he's lying because he would have taken it back. In other words, "I'll give you my kingdom." Because remember that at the moment, Satan is the god of this world. But that is soon to come to an end. So the question we're raising this evening, which kingdom do you wish to follow? Because Jesus was tempted with the very same thing that we are. You see, you will never choose the right kingdom unless the created life of Christ dwells in you. In other words, that you are a new creation. You see, many are emotionally or intellectually moved. You could be emotionally or intellectually moved tonight listening to this teaching. But that may not affect or touch your heart. It may be that you still love this world more, but all you were was just emotionally moved. We have to be moved by faith. And we heard our teaching the other week, faith comes by hearing the word. The heart has to be touched. And this is why it is important, if we are to seek the kingdom of God, then we have to experience that new created life in me, the life of Christ. You have to be a new creation if you are committed to discipleship, making it in to the kingdom of God. You will not overcome otherwise. The enemy is too strong. And there are still too many in Christendom who are trying to overcome, but they're still doing it in the flesh. In other words, they are emotionally, intellectually moved. They make these rash promises. I've heard the teaching this time. Praise God, I'm different now. I've changed. I've got deliverance. How many times have we heard that? Or we've heard it in meetings, or we've heard it in a prayer meeting, or we've heard somebody get up after hearing a stirring message, only to find that 6 months or a year later, they're nowhere to be found. Now, it's nothing wrong to be emotionally moved and to experience the presence of God and the joy of God and everything. But our standing with the Lord is far deeper. And the only way you have that confidence and that standing is by going through your spiritual temptations like Jesus did. Because that is what anchors us. That is what builds that confidence, that faith. That God brought me through that trial. It couldn't be achieved. It couldn't be done in the natural. And we give God all the praise and all the glory, because it was his presence. My being a new creation in Christ, the power of the Spirit, anchored me, enabled me to be able to overcome. I don't think there's much emphasis on that these days in teaching. Subtly, a lot of teaching today still seems to deliver in such a way that it's up to you. It's your will. It's in your strength. Obey and you will overcome. We can't obey unless the new created life of Christ is in your heart, your very being. You won't obey otherwise. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those scriptures are there for a very reason, to tell us it isn't in your strength, it isn't in your power, it isn't in your intellect, it isn't in your determination. All these things that we've tried and failed. And Jesus, in his temptation, when he came out, it's interesting that the scriptures show us in this that he goes in by the Spirit, and when he comes out by the power of the Spirit. Something happened to him. He changed. He was empowered by his Heavenly Father. And he knew that experience to be able to face the future and eventually the cross. And we walk likewise. We're never going to be moved, changed, if it's simply intellectual, if it's just based on these emotions. And that is why you sit down and you count the cost. You count the cost, you sit down because you have a free will. And when you count the cost and you've settled it and you put your hand to the plow, something has happened in your heart. Something has changed supernaturally that you know there's no looking back. I plow, I go forward by the grace and mercy of God. And when you find yourself beginning to be tempted to look back or whatever it is, something happens within you. You respond to the alarm bells. That again is the power of God working on your behalf. Else we can't do it. We've sat down. We've thought about it. We've prayed about it. We've settled it. It's moving forward, hands to the plough. It is seeking the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. Let me give you a clue to this. This might help some of you who may be struggling. When you talk to God, and you have to talk to him about these things, you have to be honest. And when you become a disciple, you ask the Lord for that help. You ask him, the Lord, whatever it takes, do not give up on me. Do not cause me to go to the left or to the right. Help me never to look back, but always to keep my hands firmly fixed to the plough. To the best of my knowledge, my ability, you know my heart, you know everything. You know me better than you know than myself, but what I am saying to you tonight, I say from my heart. It's what I want. Even if I become confused or however I feel, it's what I want. It's what is right. It's what glorifies you. And I don't know any more. I don't know what else to say other than what I have said. And I believe that you will work that in and through me. That is what God wants to start to hear from us. He wants to hear that honesty. He wants us to admit that we can't do it in ourselves. This world is too attractive, it's too strong. But it's not what I want. I know what the future of this world is and what is going to happen to it. You've had insight. You've read the Word of God. You will find a power, anointing, a blessing, the presence of God just taking over. Because we are only ever strong in our weakness. Wish to God more Christians were honest about that one. And this is why some of them fall so badly. or fall badly into sin. And this is why we're discussing this tonight. Which kingdom do you wish to follow? Maybe you might find at the end of this teaching, Lord, my heart is still in this world. You've convicted me. You have revealed things to me where I'm just playing at this. I'm deceiving myself. But thank you for your word. Thank you that you have exposed, because we have the ability, we have the possibility, we have the wherewithal to come before God and to bring it before him. That is how faith comes, by hearing. It's responding to that which we hear. And many times, it's a means of prayer, dialogue with Almighty God. Opening your heart, because he knows. Some of you may not have the heart for the kingdom of God, which you thought you had. Then every opportunity is there, Lord, whatever it takes, place it within my heart to seek only your kingdom and your kingdom alone. Do you think our Heavenly Father, who loves us, is going to turn his back on such a request? Do you think he's going to laugh at us or admonish us? Do you think he's going to say, well, you've been walking with me now for 20 years. Why is it you're now suddenly saying such a prayer? Didn't you grasp it before? Well, maybe no, you didn't. But that's not what he says. God doesn't think or work like that, like human beings do. He's a God of love and mercy and grace. He doesn't see things in time like we do. It is not in the Father's heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That is his heart, that is his nature. So, we've looked at sitting down, thinking about it, counting the cost. All of these things are so clear in the Word of God. But let's now look at discipleship. Let's look to Luke 9, chapter 9, verses 61 and 62. That's what I want to primarily look at this evening. Luke chapter 9. And here, under the context of which is the cost of discipleship, actually we'll go from verse 47, we're leading to it. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, I'll follow me. But he said, Lord, let first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plough, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That is quite radical. That is absolute. It is black and white. That's how he presents it. We know the story, don't we, of Lot's wife. She looked back, didn't she, when they were to flee Sodom? And the angel said, get away as soon as possible. And they were not to look back when the fire came down to consume the cities. And as a result, she turned into a pillar of salt. She perished. You see, looking back can be pleasant. And we all do it sometimes. We look back to our school days. We look back to our college days. And when we got our first job, or when we got married, or our friends and our loved ones and families and so on. And this is God-given, and it can be pleasant. But there is a looking back that grieves God also, which Lot did. You know, some may wonder why such a harsh punishment. Well, here it is, verse 62. No one, having put his hand to the plough, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said it. You see, this looking back proved her heart and affections wasn't for the kingdom of God. And if your heart and affection is not for the kingdom of God, you are always prone to idolatry. You are always prone to relying on the arm of the flesh. Remember our teaching on Sunday? God is weaning us away from trusting in the arm of the flesh. The reason being is because so much idolatry can be attached to it. Not only, as we were talking about, it can be vexing and confusing and so on, which it is, but it tempts us to start relying on the kingdom and what it can offer and give, a false security. This is why the Holy Spirit is weaning us away, wooing us away. He doesn't do it in one swoop. It's a working. As we allow him to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, as we allow him, as he brings us to this place of honesty and confession before him. Some of us still need to be honest before him. Lord, I'm still trusting the arm of the flesh. I still look to it. I'm still relying on it. There's fear, unbelief that's still attached. But Lord, don't give up on me. Whatever it takes, continue to deliver me, that I'm solely and wholly separated unto you and you alone, where I don't need man, the arm of the flesh, anymore. I don't know how God's going to do this. I don't know how he delivers us and is going to bring us through. If he did it, if he can do it with a nation, the children of Israel, probably about 1.5 million, well, he can certainly do it with me. And he can do it with the body of Christ. You see, this is where our faith is needed, that God can do this in your life, my life, for FGA and all those that hear this. Otherwise, we've just been merely intellectually moved or emotionally moved. And I don't want that. It goes far deeper than that. And so Lot's heart of affections wasn't in the kingdom of God, and she paid a price for it. You see, if our hearts are not fully for the kingdom of God and our hands on the plough looking forward, then our motivations will not always be right. There will still be that self that wants its way and won't be happy until it gets its own way. And that's why we react often like we do, because self still gets in the way. But you see, when self is dealt with, and that's what God is doing through the cross that we too take up daily, we find then that we are released to put that kingdom first. But Lot couldn't do that. She couldn't obey what the angel said. And that is also our problem. We can't obey God because our affections, desires are still in the world. But thank God he doesn't give up on us. God hasn't even given up on Israel, even though she failed that test. She will be saved in the last days. You see, when the call to forsake Egypt, Sodom, which is on us as well, it doesn't mean that we come when we are ready, when it suits us. We've already read it there, the cost of discipleship. They all were making excuses. Well, let me go and say farewell to my parents first. And you one could say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was revealing something far deeper. It was showing that they were not desperate enough, ready enough. Now that may be something that you need to take before God. Lord, make me ready. Make me desperate. Do whatever it takes to work this in me. That is what maybe is needed from some of us. You see, many follow Christ on their own terms. And a lot delude themselves. Lot also deluded herself. She thought because she was coming away with Lot, the rest of her family, the angel had come. My goodness me, I mean, talk about supernatural and miracle. She was following the rest of them in action. But in her heart, she was not with them. And we can do the same. We can be together. We can fellowship together. But it doesn't mean to say your heart is always with the rest who are pressing forward. And we know that by some who, alas, are not with us. They've made the same mistake as Lot. It's sometimes a good question to come before God and say, Lord, am I deluding myself? I don't know unless you will show me in your mercy and grace. Don't be frightened to pray that one. Because God loves us. We can deceive ourselves so, so easily. And how the enemy uses it. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ has come to set the captives free. And if you are free, then you are free indeed. That is what the word of God says. And he is setting us free. This freedom is to make the right choices, to put the kingdom first, to obey the Lord. That's the freedom he's working. So the question I raise is, do you know you have escaped Sodom? And only you can answer that one. For example, Luke 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. So even Jesus mentions it here, doesn't he, in Luke 17? You see, brothers and sisters, you don't escape this by good attendance. Oh, and it's nice to be committed. It's good to be together as God's people, God's in fellowship and so on. But even that attendance doesn't necessarily mean that Sodom is not out of your heart. Or being part of FGA. The question is, are you ploughing? Are you moving forward? Is your face, your heart set as a flint, just as Jesus' was towards Jerusalem and the cross? Or are you looking back at the same time? And we all know that you can't plough a straight line if you're looking back, tempted to look back. We also know that those who run in races, if they start to look back to see who's approaching or whether somebody's trying to beat them, that looking back can cause them to lose the race. And we too can do that spiritually. You see, human nature wants to burn the candle at both ends. We want blessings with God, and we want the blessings of this world. And you have to decide what it is you want. You see, when God calls, never ever put a but in the way, which is obviously in the description of the cost of discipleship, verses 57 through to 62. All of those he's calling, yes, but, let me first do what I've got to do. Maybe we're putting too many buts in our lives, and again, we need to come clean. We need to bring it out before God. Those buts get in the way. You see, many cannot give up their worldly possessions. I've worked hard all my life for this. I'm not about to give this up. Or I inherited from my parents who worked really, really hard all their lives. These possessions can possess us. You know, again, God exposes these things where our affections lie. You see, it does cost us everything to make it in to the kingdom of God. Jesus has made it absolutely clear. It will cost us everything. Wherever there's a wrong affection, that has to be surrendered, placed on the altar. This is why, you see, as overcomers, we always keep those close accounts. We walk close with him so that we become sensitive to what he's saying and what he's doing, whether individually or corporately. And this is why, sadly, most dare not preach it like it is. You very seldom have this preached as Jesus presents it. You know why? Well, it's obvious. They'll lose most of their congregation. They'll lose most of their income or whatever it is. And that is the tragedy. That is the Laodicean spirit that we have about today, so much in Christendom. But Luke 14 and verse 20, which says, still another, let's go from, and another said, verse 19, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And then the servant comes out, and so forth. I just picked some of that out because they're the excuses that so many make. Well, I can't be committed at the moment. I can't do my ministry at the moment because I've got to look after someone, or my wife is sick, or whatever it is. How often have we done that? Where we made excuses instead of putting the kingdom of God first. I know, brothers and sisters, about that one, and I will share this. I was tested with this. in a meeting that we had here in this house, my mother became quite ill. And she had to be put on the bed and the duvet over her. And I continued with the meeting until I administered and preached the word. And then attended to her needs. And the following day, she was then taken into hospital. My family used this against me and said that I neglected my mother. I didn't look after her. You put your meetings, your evangelistic meetings first before your own mother. That was one of the things that was charged against me. I did what God called me to do. I was to preach the message that was to be delivered. That is what God had given me. And yes, I paid the price. They used it. They lied against me. And brothers and sisters, this will happen. They won't understand. They will think you are neglecting, or you're neglecting your family, or whoever it would be, when God is calling you to do something, to put the kingdom first. They will never understand it. The enemy will use it. You will be lied about and said you're unloving and hard heart and so forth. But you see, who are we answerable to at the end of the day? It is the Lord and Him alone. God will deal with our enemies. As God has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we will be tested in this, the same as I was. But we give that same love and devotion to Christ as Jesus did to his Father when he was on the earth. It's no different for us. This is why we surrender this self-life up. Romans 12, 1 and 2. God has shown us over the years you can't do any more than surrender yourself up, placing yourself on that altar as a living sacrifice. That is what's pleasing. Hallelujah. And that's why we're to hate the alternative. That is why we're to hate mother, wife, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, or whatever it is, not to hate them, but it is to hate the alternative that will stop me from putting the kingdom of God first. Because we're up against spiritual forces. We're not up against them. It's what works through them. We still love them, but we hate what tries to work through them, stopping us from loving the Lord, obeying Him, and putting Him first. Your family are often your biggest trial. And we don't always want to acknowledge that one. And this is discipleship, brothers and sisters. This is God's kingdom. This is what it means to put Him first. You see, as I close now with this, and this is the clue to all of this, God will not share our love and our affection that belongs to Him with any other thing or person in this world. Why? Because He's a jealous God. And if you have not experienced God's jealousy over you, you will. That is why. I don't understand that. It seems extreme, but that is God, and he is never, ever wrong. But God is jealous over you. He's jealous over me. He's put his glory in us. He's put his nature, his heart, his spirit, his being in us. He has placed his spirit in us, and he isn't about to share that with anything or anyone else. That is what you are. That is what it means to be a new creation in Christ. So which kingdom do you wish to follow? Only you can answer that, and only you can be honest before the Lord. Because we are pushing forward that plough. Our faces are set forward, ploughing that straight line. And even only God can do that. That is why it's not by might nor by power, it is by his Spirit, says the Lord. And when we get into glory, we're going to look back at this. As hard as it was, we will lay our crowns before him because he was right. He didn't get it wrong. It seemed so extreme, so absolute. But that is what is right for us. And God never, ever gets it wrong. And where is the true freedom to be found? It's in discipleship. Because that's what he's called us for. Not just mere Christians or believers. We're actually disciples of Christ. How many do you hear today who actually use that term? I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You very seldom ever hear that. But you can say that. And maybe that will get the attention of other people who will say, well, that we hear, well, we're believers or we're Roman Catholics or we're Christians, but I've never heard anyone say, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that is what's to be said in these last days that will start to cause people to listen and to turn around, and they too will become disciples of Christ. That is what Jesus said to them, didn't he? Come, follow me. The early church went out and made disciples because that is what they were. And that is what we have to come back to as well, brothers and sisters. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for speaking to us, helping us, encouraging us, wooing us. Lord, you so want us to get it right. And you have provided everything for us that we can walk as disciples. It is simply yielding over, not resisting, not fighting, but allowing the Spirit, your life, to work in and through us. Father, you are producing a fruitful people in these last days. Let FGA be a fruitful vine, where at that hour you take those grapes and you crush them. And all that juice, that sweetness, will flow as a result. Father, thank you tonight for our meeting, our consecration. Thank you for bringing all my brothers and sisters into the room, wherever they be around the world. Father, help them, encourage them, preserve and keep them. Raise them up, Father, by the stripes of Jesus, because they were healed at Calvary. Keep them from the evil one and from temptations. Preserve and keep them under the blood of the Lamb. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
We're going to sing the second verse that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it?
Man shall not live by
shall be open.